all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Along with Greg Bach and meteorologist Brittany Merlot and Up North News reporter Selena Heller joining us from Eau Claire, we'll have Deborah Kronmiller from the League of Women Voters coming up at 7:30, Todd Alba from the Republican Convention site coming up at 7:50, and Selena, instead of just talking about one of your stories, you have a guest for us at 7:20.
Yes, she is, my goodness, going to the Olympics. She is, her name is Mary. She's an Eau Claire native, and she's got an interesting story. She kind of did things backwards.
She won the gold medal first and then took
You think you start out like when you're really young and then you have this kind of a path set out. Well, she started in her sport, weightlifting, when she was 27. So, yeah, it's quite a story.
All right. So there you go. We'll be talking to Mary. What's her last name? Tyson?
Tyson Lappin.
Okay. We'll talk to her coming up at 7:20. But Brittany is here right now to tell us about a forecast that is very foggy here on Lake Wissota after plenty of rain and thunderstorm activity over the course of the weekend. How are we looking to start the week there, Brittany?
No, it's going to be a little rocky here today still as well. A lot of cloud cover still hanging on into the northern part of the state. We've got that fog really in the central areas. And of course, it's starting to burn off the further east that you live. But we are looking at sunshine throughout the afternoon before a cold front hits us. And a lot of people excited about the cold front. And yes, it will take away those temperatures in the upper 80s. It will take away that high humidity that we've been feeling all weekend long. So a lot of people are excited. This will get here this afternoon. But of course, as it pushes through the state, that's going to bring some showers throughout the afternoon and some strong to severe thunderstorms by this evening. Further south that you live in the state, the worse chances you're going to see. I think that if these storms start to fire up and they're by themselves, we could see some hail and tornado risks with those. But then as that continues to line out and push through the state, that's going to be more of a wind event where we could see about 60 to 70 mile per hour gusts as that pushes through. But a lot of the severe weather wants to hit northern Illinois. State line, of course, across Wisconsin, be weather savvy this evening. But behind it, comfortable temperatures. I'm so excited. We actually fall below average for Wednesday and I believe Thursday into those mid to upper 70s. It's going to feel nice.
You're the only one I know who'd be excited to be below average. The rest of us want to excel at something, but yeah, we'll take it. Although the forecast does not appear to sit well with whiskers, Selena. There's some howling.
Whiskers.
That was not
That's
whiskers?
Mine.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
Whiskers
Wait.
Doesn't meow.
I didn't think so.
This is Butters. He studied.
Oh, look at this. How have we not known about Butters till now?
He's usually quiet, but you know, he's pretty.
What else
pretty
are you
excited.
Hiding? Are you hiding a spouse? And what else back there that we know about you? There's a cat. Now Selena's reaching for whiskers. There's just now Greg reaches back and no Greg. Greg has a stapler or a little portable radio or something.
He's petting it.
Gee, I had no idea. So is Butters normally in the room with you when you're doing the weather?
I feel like he's usually napping at this point, but not today.
Okay. Apparently must have known Whiskers was nearby. Good morning. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. Happy 715 day. Selena, I forgot it was 715 day.
Woo!
Woo! Well, they make such a big deal about 414 day in the Milwaukee area on April 14th. And we used to talk about trying to make 715 day a thing. It's like fetch. It's just not going to be a thing, you know? Rob says, happy 715 day. It's sunny and 68 in Tigerton. Saturday night, Tigerton had 1.75 inches of rain, mowed lawn Saturday, but got to relax, enjoy the rest of the weekend. As an American, we have to start being kind and help one another. Amen to that, Rob. Also, watch out for road work along Highway 29 near Shawano on work at the J-Turn Intersection Project at County Triple M at mile marker 222. Send us your local traffic and weather updates here to Up North News Radio, and we will pass those along as well. Brittany, any traffic you need to tell us about there in the greater Wausau area?
No, after Saturday, we're better now. We were flooding, though. I don't know if you heard about that. We got 3 inches of rain and that storm that just sat over the area, but we're good now.
Okay, good. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
You and your friend.
Thanks.
Welcome back. Welcome back anytime. So, all right. We'll get to Selena's stories for us in just a moment. I just want to thank one of my colleagues who noted on Facebook that the opening of our show this morning, the start of our 6 a.m. Show was spot on. Appreciated the research and the tone. He writes, the image of knucklehead congressmen sending Christmas cards to their supporters, showing their families, including children, all holding AR-15s, the same gun used in the attack on former President Trump, says it all. Well said. Mike, thank you very much. I appreciate the comments. You can leave your comments on our Facebook pages as well, the Facebook page for Up North News, the Facebook page for Civic Media, the Facebook page for Bull Falls Radio, and the YouTube page for Up North News. Leave any comments there and we'll pass them along as we're able. Or you can call us or text us at 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. If you'd rather send us an email, send it to radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And a note that, again, if you can't always listen live, you can subscribe as a podcast. If you missed last hour, where we talked more extensively about the shooting at the Trump rally in Pennsylvania, just head over to civicmedia.us. You can listen back to each hour's episode of our locally produced talk shows or subscribe as a full-on podcast as well. The Milwaukee Brewers head into the All-Star break still in first place in the National League Central. Despite dropping 2 out of 3 to the Washington Nationals over the weekend, they salvaged the final game with a 9-3 victory. Willy Adames had a home run. Garrett Mitchell homered for the first time in more than a year. William Contreras hit a home run. So the Brewers avoided what would have been their first four-game losing streak of the season. They're in first place 4.5 games ahead of the Cardinals. Their next game after the All-Star break will be Saturday for 2 games at Target Field against the Twins. Then they'll be at Wrigley Field a week from today for a 3-game set to take on the Cubs. 7:13 now, and Selena's here and working on stories where, again, as we talk about all these different milestone events, we're going to have the Republican convention this week, the Democratic convention next month, and still to come this summer, the Paris Olympics, where there are several Wisconsinites who are going to be Olympians in the Paris Games, including, as you mentioned, Selena, one from the Eau Claire area.
Right. I think we have like 30 to 40, mid-30s, a number of people who have connections from Wisconsin heading to the Olympics. Mary is heading there this week already, kind of get ready for it. So she's going to be talking with us a little bit later.
Okay. And also in the Twin Cities, next to Target Field is the Target Center, which is where the gymnastics tryouts were held, just a couple of weeks back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so the gymnastic trials were there, and you talked to a couple of folks who were connected to that from our area.
Well, right. And, you know, a lot of my stories have to do with education. And so I've been lucky enough to go into a lot of summer schools this summer. And a lot of them have Olympic themes, which is really neat. So they're learning all about Olympics, all these kids ahead of the Olympics. So they'll pay attention to all these cool stories of all of these athletes. So they get to talk to these kids. So last week, they had an athletic trainer come, and he got to be a volunteer at the U.S. Olympic team gymnastic trials in Minneapolis. And he is an athletic trainer with the Mayo Clinic Health System here in Eau Claire. And so he got to train with the likes of Simone Biles and Suni Lee and all of those wonderful athletes and watch them. And just is what he said, it was just a phenomenal experience.
And Ben Rockwell was the name, right?
Ben Rockwell. And this is what Ben had to say about that.
I would say just being around that environment, the being around the athletes, and then the just the environment of like the competitions. Just it's a very electric. It's a palpable excitement in the air, and it was really fun to be around that.
I can totally understand that. I mean, again, you have this chance to go to the Olympics. Why wouldn't there be this kind of energy, especially from people who are so highly motivated? And again, based on the clips you've got here, that stretches across all age ranges.
Oh, well, yeah. And a lot of the themes coincide with the Olympics of goals. And that's what the kids at Manns Elementary School talked about all last week and probably this week, too, as they are in their second week of summer school. And so Monday, they talked about setting goals. What's a goal? And then I was back later in the week and they talked about, okay, what did they decide their goals were and how they were going? So Aurora Rockwell was Ben Rockwell is Ben Rockwell's daughter. She's six and she talked about achieving goals with me.
Practice a lot and don't give up. Even if it's too hard, don't let your anger get in your way.
Let's just cue that up, Greg, and let's just play that. That could be like our close every day. Is just play. Can you play that again?
Practice a lot and don't give up. Even if it's too hard, don't let your anger get in your way.
I love it. I love it. I know. Craig is. We're moved. That's such a great thing.
She was the best.
All right. So we're gonna talk to Mary after the break here. So while we've got a moment, we've got a comment on Facebook from Lauren saying, yes, this week my summer school class is doing an Olympic theme. Can't wait. And so my question for you, Ms. Heller, and you, Mr. Bach, would be, and this is not, again, this is assuming you could do all the conditioning and everything. We're not showing up in Paris the way that we are right now. What would be your Olympic event? And it could be summer or winter. And I think mine would be some kind of, you know, track and field type events. Again, I'm no Bruce Jenner. We're just going to leave it at that. And, but you know, those are the things I might do. What about Selena? I'm going to guess gymnastics.
I love gymnastics. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think gymnastics.
Okay. Greg?
I'd probably go a swimming event, some sort of swimming event.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yep. I get that. And when we come back, we're going to find out more about the weightlifting end of it and just so many other things where I would wish, not wish, but we talk about this a lot, that what if there was one quote-unquote normie? You know, put a normal person in like lane nine, you know, for the swimming or for the running or for anything. And we'll ask Mary if we could do the same thing for weightlifting, although I suppose there'd be more than a few ruptured hernias and things like that if we tried. So let's give that a go with Mary when we talk to her.
Okay.
On the other side of this break with first this reminder that wherever you are listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, the 15th day of July, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Follow what we do over at upnorthnewswi.com and subscribe to that daily newsletter. Click newsletter in the top banner. Back in just about a minute. Obviously, that is Paul McCartney. It was on this day in 2009, 45 years after he first played the Ed Sullivan Theater with the Beatles. Paul McCartney was back at the Ed Sullivan Theater on The Late Show with David Letterman. And that afternoon, McCartney went up on the theater's marquee and performed to thousands of onlookers in Manhattan from the marquee there. Also, one other historical note I thought was, you know, we had a couple different musical notes that weren't like records to play, but little clips to play, like Paul McCartney there at the Ed Sullivan Theater. On this day in 1852, look, nobody remembers anymore. Ted Mack's Amateur Hour was like the, you know, it was the American Idol of its time. And in 1952, on this day, the contest was won by an 8-year-old girl, a prodigy by the name of Gladys Knight. Give a little listen. Had no idea Gladys Knight had been, you know, performing and even on TV back in those early years. She won the top prize of $2,000 for her performance of that Nat King Cole song, Too Young. All right, back on Up North News Radio on this Monday morning, just about 7:22 right now. Selena Heller back with us and covering many stories about Wisconsinites in the Olympics, and brought with us today an Olympian from the U.S. Olympic team for weightlifting, Selena.
We are so excited to have Mary Tyson Lappin here with us. She's an Eau Claire native, and she's got an amazing story to tell us. And gosh, Mary, you grew up doing, you're a multi-sport athlete.
Yep, I did all kinds of sports growing up. Just a, probably tried a little bit of everything.
Did you have a favorite?
I would say track and field was my favorite growing up.
Okay.
See. I liked basketball too.
Okay. And so how did things start with competitive weightlifting?
Basically what happened was weightlifting, USA Weightlifting, the governing body, has a basically a program where it's like taking athletes from other sports, not that they're still competing, or maybe former athletes in other sports, and saying, hey, I think you'd be kind of good at this. Let's give it a shot. So they kind of found out about me through track and field, and I decided, okay, sure, fine, I'll try. And then that's how I got started.
Okay, so you tried it, and obviously you have some ability at it. Did you like it from the beginning, or was it one of those things that, well, you know, I guess I'm good at it, but you'd rather be doing something else? How was your whole attitude when you start being competitive in it?
I'm very impatient as a person, so it was kind of annoying that I wasn't better at it right away, especially because I am naturally very strong, but the sport is much more than just strength. It's very technical. It's like hard to get good at right away. So I would say I was very impatient, but it was something that I found interesting to try to get good at. So I kept with it and got a little bit better each year, and now we're here.
And you talked about the strength, Mary, in talking with the kids earlier this week. I went at the school, at the elementary school, and I thought it was funny to explain the equivalent of how much you can lift. So tell us about that and kind of the equivalent, because it's not pounds. You can't really, and we can't understand necessarily.
Yeah. No, I think when I talked to the kids, I pretty much just told them that try to compare it to things that they might know what it is. So I think we said maybe like a piano, like I can lift a piano over my head, or what did we say else? Like a maybe
a small polar bear.
But maybe people have like a little bit more of an understanding, because weights look like weights overhead, but if you kind of think about it, like things that you might. I mean, we don't see polar bears much, but
yeah. Well, now, again, there's a practical aspect of this. I mean, if somebody's running track and field, there's not a lot you can do for somebody unless you need them to literally run an errand. Do you have your friends just a little bit too often go, hey, can you help me with moving? Like, I got to move this piano, you know, from here to here. Or do you turn down all that stuff? Because, I mean, you got to focus on winning competitions.
Yeah. Not getting injured.
I definitely, I'm a good mover. I'm good at it. I can move pretty much whatever needs to be moved, but definitely around this time, I've kind of been careful about not doing extra stuff because I don't want to get hurt.
And you just trained what 6 years, and now you get to go to the Olympics. That's pretty incredible. Just 6 years you've been doing this.
Yeah. A little bit more than six, probably 6.5 or so, but still a lot of the people that I lift with have been doing it since they were kids and whatnot. So I got started a little bit later in life, and it ended up working out.
Well, it seems to have, just looking here at the info that says you won the silver medal at the 2023 World Championships in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. You won the gold medal for the women at the 2023 Pan American Games in Chile. You're a two-time gold medalist at the Pan American Weightlifting Championships. So, I mean, this isn't something you just stumbled upon. This is something you've gotten pretty good at.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, like I said, I'm still impatient with myself, but try to just, I like competing a lot. That's something that I've always loved doing, whether the sport was whatever it was, actually. I love competing, so I just try to do my best. And
How did you feel being approached, to talk to groups of school students and things like that?
I like talking to kids. I think it's kind of fun. I think that weightlifting has been really good for me, and I've kind of made a career out of it for the time being and whatnot. But I think that it's important for me to do the other stuff, like talking to kids and, trying to be a role model and things. not just showing them to be strong, but trying to be like confident and trying to find sports that are a little bit different. So I think just trying to do my part in the whole sport, not just lifting weights, I think is kind of important for me.
And you sometimes give a message out about body image too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think with the internet, like we see like these like model type bodies all the time. And I think it's important to see that there are like other healthy bodies that might be bigger and might be a little bit different than yours. And I think especially with kids, that's important to see because I didn't have the internet when I grew up, you know, so thank goodness, honestly. But just seeing different types of bodies on the internet when kids are exposed to so much now is, I think, kind of important.
How does that strike you in a social media age where, you know, it's no longer, you know, fan mail is not something that comes in an envelope. You know, you get instant feedback on social media, probably as you're competing.
Yeah.
Is there guidance that's given to you and other athletes about maybe just staying away from the comment section, or do you actually enjoy engaging with folks?
I've definitely enjoyed engaging with lots of people. I've made a lot of friends and I've made relationships that would never have happened if it wasn't for the social media stuff. But at the same time, like, to be completely honest, I have not been on Instagram since basically April. I hired someone to run my Instagram just because I can't always be reading the comments, because 99% of the comments I get are very, very nice. And you know, there are people building me up and giving me confidence and being really nice to me. But there are ones that are like very, very mean. So those are the ones I need to stay away from. And there's enough of them where I just kind of stay away for a while. But
and you leave right away on Wednesday.
Yep, I leave Wednesday. I leave at 2:00. I'll get to Paris at about 8 a.m. on Thursday, their time, and then I compete. I'll be there for a whole month, so I'm a little anxious about that, but I think it should be pretty good.
Tony writes in from Ashland. What a great segment. See, I'm giving up-to-the-minute feedback. Yeah, Tony, we get it. Thank you. And yes, it was a great segment because we got a great Olympian here who's going to do some wonderful things. So, Mary, thank you so much. Enjoy it all. Soak up the experience, and we can't wait to follow your progress. Good luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
Cheering you on.
Yeah. Thank you. Selena, thank you so much, too. You have a good start to the week. And when we come back, we'll talk to Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters about August constitutional referendums for you to vote on. After this, you're up north. Again, happy birthday to Linda Ronstadt, 70, born this day 78 years ago. Of course, this is the day that starts the Republican National Convention, and Civic Media will be there. We'll talk to Todd Alba from the convention site coming up in about 15 minutes, and Civic Media will have special event coverage each evening this week from 7 to 8 p.m., News director Terry Bell will be live on location, and Todd is doing his noon to 2:00 show from there. And along with talking about the Republican convention and talking about the importance of voting this November comes the importance of voting this August. It's something we've talked about a couple of times already, and we're going to continue to talk about because these are important issues that are worthy of your time to go vote on August 13th, even if there isn't some other kind of big marquee primary like there are in some districts around Wisconsin, but not all of them. And so it's worth your while to learn about the issues and go vote on August 13th, which takes us to one of our favorite groups because they are about nothing but democracy. And go vote. And that, of course, would be Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Deborah, nice to have you back. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's so good to have you here. Again, in part because of just the ongoing advocacy and frankly, for all of the talk about elections, we haven't actually been asked to vote in large numbers for a little while here. And now we've got two biggies coming up before the year's out.
We do. And, you know, August primaries oftentimes are lower turnout elections. And the League has been advocating for years and years and years that, you know, people really should come out for the primary. The primary is where important decisions are made. Who's going to make it to that final ballot? And in this particular election, we also have two critically important amendments to the Constitution questions. And that is, frankly, not an accident that they're on a, you know, historically low turnout election ballot. But, you know, what we want to see is that everyone comes and everyone makes their voice heard. And that's how our democracy really thrives.
Right. And so, yes, you can put up a constitutional amendment proposal in the August election, even though it is, you know, has much lower turnout than November. But if you put it up there on purpose, you know, there might be some motivation why you do that. It might be something that is not particularly popular if it were put up for a wider vote. So let's talk about the substance of these constitutional amendments. What is it? What would be the impact of what legislative Republicans proposed for changes in the Wisconsin Constitution?
What I think they're trying to achieve is actually bringing more power to the legislative branch of government versus the executive branch or the judicial branch. And, you know, our Constitution for years and years has laid out what the, you know, the separations of power should be and have historically been. Our governor has had the authority for over 90 years to allocate federal funds. And what these constitutional amendments are trying to do is take some of that power from the executive branch and give it to the legislature. Now, the League is advocating a no vote on these particular amendments. And we do that for a very pointed reason. One is the legislature, unlike the governor's office, is not in session all year long. And federal funds come to the state throughout the year. So we need a body, a branch of government that can really work with these funds throughout the course of the year, as the governor's office can, whereas the legislative branch, if they're not in session, do they have to reconvene? Do they have to call a special session? You know, these are all questions not answered in these constitutional amendment narrative that's happening on our ballot. And those types of questions are really giving pause to the League of Women Voters. We need to have those answers before we vote on these, or certainly before we enact them into the Constitution.
Right. So these proposed amendments would essentially say when federal aid does come to Wisconsin, like all the pandemic relief aid that came a couple of years back, that the legislature has to take a vote on it rather than it just going to a governor to be dispersed. And as you noted, the legislature is not in session year round. And frankly, like you said, it's not a statewide body. We have seen a disturbing trend, especially at the federal level, say, of members of Congress voting no on disaster relief for other states. But then, of course, when disaster strikes their state, now suddenly they're looking for federal relief. And, you know, I worry that you would have that same potential here for a legislature that would be fragmented, whereas you have a governor who's looking out for the whole state.
Correct.
And consequently could. Because the legislature, Deborah, already does have a budget-making role. I mean, they already control a wide swath of how our tax dollars are used, right?
Absolutely. And in creating the state budget every other year, the legislature plays a very significant role. As we saw in the last budget cycle, the budget that the legislature put in front of the governor was probably not a budget that the governor, many members of his party, probably really thought was the best budget for Wisconsin. But the governor knew this was the budget that was going to be able to be passed, and he, in fact, signed it into law. And the legislature has a huge authority in allocating our tax dollars. And, you know, from my standpoint, the legislature is not nimble the way the governor's office can be. And, you know, in the end of June, we saw very severe storms move through southern Wisconsin. There was tornadoes, there was flooding, and the governor could immediately respond, ask the federal government for emergency relief. Now, our legislature wasn't in session then. And I wonder, you know, were this law, you know, were this constitutional amendment in effect at the end of June, would the legislature have been so fast in asking the federal government for relief? Would those homeowners and, you know, municipal leaders in those communities have had access to those dollars as quickly? Because in Wisconsin, it's the governor who makes that call out to FEMA. And it's the governor who makes the decision as to what areas of the state have been significantly impacted by natural disasters, and he can enact or, you know, put into action that relief seeking measure.
And by the way, this isn't all theory. This is in practice. This is a legislature that in 2020 was one of the least active in the country at a time when there would have been this need to disperse pandemic relief aid. And we have certainly, Deborah, discussed multiple times on this program how this legislature, as we speak, is sitting on $125 million of money they budgeted themselves to clean up PFAS contaminated water in Wisconsin. But even though they approved the money, they refused to release it. The same can be said for Chippewa Valley hospitals. Weren't there like tens of millions of dollars that could have been used for the opioid epidemic as well? That, again, this legislature, through either for either political reasons or a lack of being nimble, you know, one or the other, take your pick, is maybe not up to the task of what they're asking for in these constitutional amendments.
Right. And yeah, all of that is true. We had a webinar the other evening with members of the Department of Administration and some legal authorities and whatnot. And what we learned in that webinar was that the Department of Administration is very significantly involved with the administration of so many federal grants that come to Wisconsin. And I have to tell you, I got the impression that a government agency, the Department of Administration, is really quite afraid of this particular constitutional amendment passing, because their authority comes into question as to how the state can properly administer these funds that do come to Wisconsin. And keep in mind, federal funds aren't just for relief from tornadoes and that sort of thing, but it's also the COVID relief. It's also so many of our big, longstanding, large federal grants that fund our SNAP program, the, you know, child welfare program. There's just so much money that comes from the federal dollars. And keep in mind, these are our dollars. You know, Wisconsinites have paid these dollars in taxes. The federal government is returning them to us, and we need to, you know, spend them appropriately for our state. And, you know, it's just a shame to think that Wisconsin would lose out on the receipt of federal dollars that we've paid in and we should get back. And, you know, because a legislature is incapable or not able to ask for those dollars appropriately.
Well, not able or not willing, which is probably what led to a joint statement, not just from the League of Women Voters, but many other groups who are urging voters to show up on August 13th and vote no against these proposed constitutional amendments. And they include Common Cause, Chippewa Valley Votes, Expo of Wisconsin, GROW, Law Forward, Oregon Area Progressives, Progress North, Souls to the Polls, the Urban League of Greater Madison, the WAVE Educational Fund, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition, Wisconsin Faith Voices for Justice, Working Families Power, Wisconsin Voices, and Power to the Polls Wisconsin. Deborah, every one of these groups is made up of people who basically pay attention to these big issues so that everybody else doesn't have to. And in so doing, provide what strikes me as a rather informed opinion of whether a proposal, or in this case, these two proposals, are good or bad. These sound like informed opinions from informed groups.
Well, Right. Well, and our partners like the league really believe that the system we have in place right now is the best system to serve Wisconsin. We have an accountable governor, you know, and I just, you know, there are 132 members of our legislature, and holding 132 people accountable to the decisions that constituents want is much more difficult, I think, than holding one governor accountable. And we have that power in Wisconsin right now. And it's really, I think, critically important to think about when federal dollars come back to the state to help Wisconsin, whether that's for infrastructure, whether that's for health services, whether that's, you know, for whatever reason, that we need to be able to disperse those funds effectively to help the whole state. And what we know about the legislature is they're beholden to a small group of people in a single district. That's their job. That's what they were elected to do. And will a person elected in, say, Racine or Chippewa or Green Bay be as accountable to the whole state as the governor is, because he's a statewide official?
And then finally, of course, we know that the state Supreme Court has reversed a decision from a couple of years earlier and is allowing drop boxes again. There was also a temporary injunction allowing email delivery of accessible absentee ballots for voters with print disabilities. So what I'm hearing from the League of Women Voters is just ongoing advocacy for making voting easier and more convenient. These sound like positive developments, Deborah.
Absolutely. We were involved in both of these cases, and it's critically important that everyone have access to the ballot. And for persons with disabilities who are low vision or blind, but have reading accessible equipment in their home, they should be able to receive a ballot that can be used in their home so that they can mark their own ballot in the same private way that is guaranteed by the Constitution, but that everyone else has a right to. And it's just critically important. And we're so happy that the judge put this temporary injunction in order.
Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters. You can learn more at my.lwv.org/Wisconsin. Deborah, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again right before the primary.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. When we come back, Todd Alba reporting from the Republican National Convention next. You're up north. Todd Alba, Civic Media's own Beast of Burden, joins us now from Milwaukee, where he is going to be one busy fella. I mean, he's already getting set to cover the convention. He was up here the other day at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. He was in River Falls on Friday. Tony writes in on YouTube, is Trigvi awake yet? I mean, we just assume you two like
yes,
travel everywhere together, but he's not with you in Milwaukee right now.
He left D.C. this morning. I got a text at 4:10 a.m. He is flying out here to Milwaukee. And if all goes well, he'll join us from Panther Arena right beside Pfizer Forum in downtown Milwaukee this afternoon.
Okay. I don't have any. I'm just going to put the ball on the tee for you. I know you've got until noon when your show starts. But I had my own take on everything from over the weekend, starting off our 6 a.m. hour. Folks can go to civicmedia.us if you want more about that. Let's just say that, again, violence has no place in American politics, but let's also not sugarcoat, you know, where a lot of this violent rhetoric came from, and be careful because something could always bounce back and bite you. Having said that, in the nicest way possible, Todd, the floor is yours for a couple of moments to give me your own instant reflections on the weekend's events.
Well, I appreciate it, and great to be with you, Greg, and everybody this morning. It's going to be an interesting week here in Milwaukee. That's an understatement. No doubt that the events over the weekend in Pennsylvania with the attempted assassination of the former president have changed this thing. It's changed it in terms of the vibe here. I got in about 1 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, and from the time that we arrived on Friday until Saturday after the shooting, it's certainly a different vibe. I agree with you, Pat. It's a moment. I mean, some of us are old enough to remember the last assassination attempt of President Reagan. Thankfully, the former president in this time, Trump, was not injured as gravely or as seriously as former former President Reagan. But I think as a country, you saw this. I thought that President Biden was absolutely gracious in his comments. He reached out. I have to give both men credit. They talked to each other privately. They haven't talked a lot about that conversation. Both sides are saying, both the president and the former president are saying, hey, let's kind of cool things down a little bit. But I also agree with you, Pat, that I think former Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger from Illinois put it best when he said, you can be outraged about the rhetoric and you could be a Trump supporter, but you can't be both. And I think that was put very well, because as you look back at whether it's Alex Jones or whether it's the former President Trump himself, right down the line, there has certainly been a higher level of vitriol and dangerous rhetoric, in my opinion, on the right and for the MAGA side than from the left. But I'm hoping, I'm always one of those people that thinks the glass is half full. Let's hope this is a moment for the country that we can dial it down and start listening to one another instead of screeching at one another. As a former General Colin Powell is fond of saying, you can't screech, you have to listen and uphold each other and treat each other like a family. And I think the biggest thing coming out of Milwaukee right now is concerns for people's safety. For those who might have friends and family down here this weekend, the perimeter itself, any place within blocks around Fiserv and Panther Arena, I've never seen a safer venue. I mean, the amount of law enforcement and that sort of thing, it'll be a safe place. The place for concern of people coming and going in, you know, from hotels to the convention site. Also, where the protesters, where the demonstrators are going to be doing their thing. Are there quote-unquote instigators, like the Boogaloo Boys or Proud Boys, that aren't even really technically part of the Republican Party? Do they put themselves in and cause trouble there? I think those are the things that are of concern. And Greg can speak to this either now or maybe on Matt Air on Air. It's a particularly weird time for comedians and people in the entertainment business, because you already saw Bill Maher and also The Daily Show pull out of Milwaukee this week for just different reasons, whether it's safety, whether it's like, how do we handle this thing? We can't really make fun of it, but we're not going to condone it. So these are strange times, and I think the hope is that we simply get through it safely, that the Republicans have their right to say their piece, and we report the truth.
Yeah, I would say, in tossing it to Greg here, when I heard that The Daily Show was pulling out of their Monday Milwaukee show, I thought, that town just cannot catch a break. You know, you had what happened in 2020 with the Democratic convention, and now this. Now, Greg, the laughing tap, you know, you already had your own plans. And like Todd said, it's not easy for anybody, but especially people that want to make sure that we're looking at the lighter side of political events.
Yeah, we actually had a show last night called RNC Therapy that had been produced for the past week. And the people who were going to perform actually said, do we cancel the show? And they said no, because because, you know, they're smart individuals. They did not take this. They did not take the events of Saturday and turn it into the butt of any jokes. They did what they were going to do anyways, which just, you know, was pre-planned. So we didn't really, you know, I would have understood if they wanted to do that because of their reasons. And I don't need more than that. And in this situation, I get that. But, you know, we just went ahead and did it. And it was great. We had a good time. And, you know, the smart comedians know how to make light of it. And I think what The Daily Show did made sense. And I hope they come back to do shows or whatever. But when I saw them, like, yeah, it makes sense. I get why.
It does. I do understand it. And look, the fact of the matter is there will still be shows, just not in Milwaukee, in part because there will be material. I mean, Tom, you can't help it. We've seen convention speakers, and some of those convention speakers are going to earn the mockery that it deserves.
I was on one of the other shows at Civic this morning already, and they asked me about these theme nights. It'll be theme nights at the RNC down here. I said, I'm particularly looking forward to the guilfoyle hair extension night, because I don't have any anymore. So the best is yet to come. So there's going to be material. And I actually think, you know, if I have to give Trump any credit, it's that he said, to paraphrase yesterday, look, we just got to move on. And I think the more the week goes on, he's going to nominate a vice president. There's going to be the regular speeches. these new cycles today, you guys both know this better than anybody else, they move quickly. And I think as normalcy starts to take hold here at the RNC, we're going to get material and things are going to be back to normal.
Well, here's hoping, because again, there's plenty of normal. No, there's the normal is
always encourage you, Patrick.
The normal is quite serious, you know, and we do need to.
Well, yes, you're right.
We need to talk about these issues. And as I said at 6 a.m., I mean, guns are the issue. You know, this was an issue reasserting itself and saying, hey, well, don't forget about me. There's something that needs to be done about the guns and the political rhetoric.
I was in the shower at 6 a.m., so I'm sorry I didn't hear that. But I'm not sure if you guys talked about it. One of the ironic things that Mayor Cavalier Johnson here in Milwaukee wanted to have some sort of, hey, let's tone down the guns and change the local ordinances. Mm-hmm. Ironically, the former Republican legislature signed into law by Republican Scott Walker usurped local control on any sort of gun control.
Yeah. So, I mean, solutions remain tough to find. Thank you, Todd. We'll hear you from the convention site at noon.
Thank you both.
Greg at 10 o'clock with Jane. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day.